Hey there. Ready for the podcast? I'm flying solo today. It's been a bit since I've done the podcast. Obviously, the world has been a little busy, and but I'm excited to get back at it. I say I because Jonathan is not here. And so before I have an announcement actually to make. So before I make the announcement, I'm going to just fire up the podcast. Let's go.
You're listening to The Common Sense Show. If you've just started a new business, or if you're just thinking about it, this podcast is for you. Micah Logan and Jonathan Neves have over 20 years of combined experience as successful entrepreneurs. The advice on this show is what they've used to build their businesses from single-member organizations to over multi-millions in revenue and multi-unit operations. Here are your hosts, Micah Logan and Jonathan Neves.
Welcome to episode... Welcome to episode 45 of The Common Sense Show.
It's actually episode 46.
I'm Micah, and I'm glad to be here with you today. I really hope that you all are safe and doing well. I hope your families are well. And I hope that you're protecting yourself and you're doing all the things that the CDC and the government has recommended for you to do to protect yourself. And so I wanted to talk today. One second, I gotta get this Facebook live stream going. Sorry. Hold on one second, guys. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm simulcasting, so it's a little harder to do it than my own engineer at the moment. I'm sure producer Paul will edit this out, or he'll just leave it in because he likes to see a squirm here on the Common Sense Show. There we are. All right. Okay. So, first things first, social media shout outs. So where can you find us on Facebook? You can find us at facebook.com/thecommonsenseshow. Excuse me, The Common Sense Podcast. Instagram at The Common Sense Podcast. Twitter at Sense, that's C-E-N-T-S Podcast. You can find us on email at info@thecommonsensepodcast.com. So obviously Jonathan is not here today. And so Jonathan is actually part of the announcement that we're going to make for you here today. And the announcement basically is that Jonathan has decided to take a leave of absence for now from the show. He's well, don't have to worry about that. His family is well. With the situation with the coronavirus hitting really hard and small businesses hard, Jonathan has decided to take a leave of absence from the podcast, but we're going to march on and we're going to continue to march on, as we help to provide guidance and support and, just even a listening ear to you as we all battle the coronavirus, whether we are small business owners or not. But of course, this podcast is dedicated to small business owners. And so I really wanted to talk today to all the small business owners out there. It's been a few weeks since we've posted our interview with Brooke Coleman, which was an awesome interview. It talked about her rise to success with in small business by creating for herself a restaurant despite all the circumstances that and the reasons why she couldn't actually create a small business. She did anyway, and even when she did create the small business, she was able, it had an effect on her ability to run it when her partner kind of went nuts. Yeah, so it's been a few weeks since that last interview, and here we are again today with another episode, and I'm excited for this episode. I always try to stay excited as I can be for our podcast, because we know that this is important for small business owners, which is why we started it. So, like I said, Jonathan won't be here for the meantime, indefinitely, and we'll try to figure out our way around it. If he kind of sneaks back in, then we'll also let you know as well. But I wanted to start off the show today this with a few quotes that I think would inspire small business owners, especially right now with everything we're facing. And so this quote particularly is from a gentleman by the name of Eckhart Tolle, who wrote a book about life's purpose. And so I believe that this quote applies to small business owners, well, everyone right now, but in particular, we're talking to small business owners. So the quote states, when faced with the radical crisis, when the old way of being in the world, of interacting with each other, and with the realm of nature doesn't work anymore, when survival is threatened by seemingly insurmountable problems, an individual life or species will either die or become extinct or rise above the limitations of its condition through an extraordinary leap. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that today. I know right now it's hard to think about planning for the future as a small business owner and what that future actually means for you, what it entails, what's exactly going to happen to you or your small business, your future as an entrepreneur. How does this all play out and what's going to happen? As the stories begin to mount about the differences in issues that small business owners are facing, some of them when it comes to paying their current bills, others when it comes to paying their payroll, and some others, yet again, had just started their businesses a month, a week, a day, a few days, a year before the coronavirus happened, and then it happened. The reality is that when life happens, when things happen in the world, like the coronavirus, that are out of your control, there's not much you can do about what's actually going on or what's happening other than to control the controllables. Part of the controllables that we're talking about that you can't control are the ability to think about how you're going to rise above your situation, what you're going to do in order to survive and get to the other side of the situation. Now, the reality for some of us means that our businesses may not look the same on the other side of the coronavirus pandemic when we get back. And that means that a few things, I think, for different people. I think that for some of us, it means that our businesses are not going to function the same, period. Meaning that our businesses are not going to feel the same. They're not going to operate the same. They're not going to function the same. It's all going to be different than where it was before. For others, it means that the business that you knew in the past is probably not going to come back. But it doesn't mean that you yourself are done. It doesn't mean that you yourself are finished, that you cannot climb back. And as tragic as you feel like it is to lose your business because of the coronavirus and everything that's happened, it's even more tragic if we decide to give up because of something that was out of our control that came in without warning, without notice, and completely gutted our business. I am sure that almost everybody who owns a small business started with some kind of struggle in some way. For some, it was easier to start the business. But for most people who have started businesses or have tried to grow them over the years, that growth looked more like a up and down pattern on a equalizer of a mixer in an audio studio than it looked like when it comes to like a straight line to success. But for small business owners to be successful, when you're coming up against insurmountable obstacles, it requires the ability to rise up. It requires adversity quotient. It requires the ability for you to think outside the box. And in some cases, where we're looking at small businesses around the country right now, and some of them that have been interviewed, what we're seeing is resiliency. We're seeing not just resiliency, but we're seeing people overcome situations. They're manufacturing different things. They're manufacturing like mask, they're manufacturing hand sanitizer, like they're shifting. And as small business owners, we have to have the ability to shift in order to survive. And despite how bad things may get for us individually, it's incumbent upon us to make this shift in a way that is going to be beneficial for us in the long run. But we have to be consistent. No matter what we do in our lives, no matter how well we do it, we have to make sure that we're consistent. There's no better measure of a small business owner in the community who has taken money from the business community in your area, who has serviced clients or customers in your area, than your measure of how successful you are going to be as a business owner is going to come down to what kind of leader you are. Are you a stable leader, or are you a leader that is sometimey? Are you a leader that that when everything is going well, you do really, really well, or when everything is going kaput, like kind of like now, you don't really do well? Well, that is going to be up to you and how you choose to lead your organization out of this. Some people will take as many opportunities as they can to manipulate the situation to enrich themselves. Even small business owners who have opportunities to pull capital and resources from a bunch of different areas, and they'll find ways to only bring themselves up. But it's the leader who instead decides to use their abilities to lift up everybody in their company and their computer. Everyone in their company and their employees that are going to be successful. That's the measure of leadership. Innovation distinguishes between a leader and a follower. That's something that Steve Jobs said. It's innovation. So in these times where the coronavirus is affecting us small business owners, how you innovate yourself is going to be an earmark of how well you come out on the other side. You want to carve a path. You don't want to follow the path. As a leader, your specific role is to make sure that you lead from the front, is to make sure that when you look behind you, the people in your organization, the people in the community can look at you as someone who was a steadying force during this particular unprecedented time. But it doesn't mean that as a small business owner that your mental health, your stress level is always going to stay high. So one of the encouragements that I have for small business owners, particularly right now, is to continue to work on business planning for yourself. So I think there's a couple of things that we can be doing as small business owners to make our time count now that we're in quarantine. And these are some of the things that I'm working on right now for my business. So the first thing that you can do to maximize on where we are right now in the stream of small business is to work on your reopening plan. Whether you think that we're going to reopen this week, like Georgia, or next week, or the week after, or a month later, or 4 months later, the reality is that eventually we're all going back to work. We're all going back to building our businesses. And so what we have to focus on right now is we have to focus on a plan for reopening. What does that look like? And as a small business owner, we don't want to leave this to the night before. We don't want to leave this to a couple days before. We don't want to leave this to a place where it's so close to when we open that we actually end up hurting ourselves and having to close down again so that we can reorganize ourselves. So now is the right time to actually start working on a plan for how you're going to do business. So if you're in a service-based business, we'll just try to break down as many categories as we can for small businesses. I know that we all service different customers and have different ways of doing business, but I'm going to try to give you different categories of businesses and maybe an idea about how you can implement some things. And of course, you'll have to, in the grand scheme, come up with your own plan for what you're going to do. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that if you're in a service-based business where you actually go to a customer's home, what you're going to have to figure out is, what are you going to do to protect your employees that go into the home, the customer that's at the house, And you're also going to have to try to figure out how you're going to protect your image, your reputation, and even how are you going to present yourself so that you can make the person at home feel comfortable that you yourself are not bringing in outside or external things that could affect your business. So, for instance, do you wear booties on your feet? Do you wear perhaps a mask when we reopen? Do you wear gloves? Or even one of the things that I think is really a good thing to think about is if you're an appointment-based business where you're going into someone's home, maybe what you can do is you can send an email to your customer just asking them what if there's any particular request that they have for you when you come into their home. Do they have a shoes off request? Do they are they requesting you to wear a mask or gloves? Of course, you should have this stuff anyway. But just even polling your customers about how they want to interact with you in that way, if you're going into their homes, might actually serve as a benefit to you and to them, because then they'll feel more comfortable with the fact that you're thinking about their interest. So that's a small business if you're actually going into someone's home. So here's another small business. If you have people coming to you in your own brick and mortar. Now, if you're a service-based business like mine, where not only do we have people coming to us, we also have people who are going to be, because I own fitness studios, going to be breathing heavy, breathing a lot, breathing often in a certain space. So one of the things that I'm starting to think about right now is how I separate people out to make sure that no individual customer is in the direct breathing line of another person who is going to be in a space. So I've consulted with individuals in public health, and one of the things that they recommended as we're considering what exactly we do is to mark out a space where a person can have their own specific space where they have their own breathing lane, so that even if they're breathing heavy and there's some droplets that come out their mouth, and whether they are asymptomatic, have no don't have coronavirus at all, is everyone's going to have their own space. I'm also going to have to we typically function with having four people in a session at one time. So we're going to have to scale that back to three. And the reason why is because we have to make sure that our social distancing is enforceable, that we have the ability to separate people from and protect them as much as possible. Another thing that, you know, I wanted to consider for myself too is there cleaning companies out there that have specific certifications, that have credentials to actually disinfect and to make a place that is, for instance, like a studio or a gym or a health club or an office or whatever the case is. Are there cleaning companies out there that specialize in infectious disease or have a certification? Now, I haven't had a second to look up a certification for infectious disease through cleaning companies. But from my conversation with the cleaning company previously, one of the things they talked about was the fact that there actually is a certification for disinfecting. And so what you may want to do is find a cleaning company that is certified specifically in disinfecting, meaning that they have this credential when it comes to disinfecting, and maybe they can provide you with a certificate. And I would say proudly display your certificates of disinfecting your facility or your reports of disinfecting to your customers so that they know that they're safe when they come in. I think moving forward, it's going to be crucial and critical to tell our customers what we're doing to protect them. Before, there was just this level of honor system trust where people came into businesses and they're just like, oh, I'm just going to sit down, I'm going to touch this, or I'm going to go here and I'm going to touch this because I know they clean. They tell me that they have a cleaning plan. But now people are going to probably want to verify what you're doing. And the reason, and it stands to reason that people want to verify what you're doing to clean your businesses, because honestly, they want to make sure that they're not bringing something home to maybe someone who's vulnerable or even to, you know, for themselves. Another idea that I was thinking about when I was thinking about reopening is marketing strategies. And one of the marketing strategies that I am going through right now, I have no problem telling it to the public, is marketing strategies around what our cleaning protocols are, making sure that people are safe. Now, there's going to be a lot of companies out there that have marketing material coming out that talk about how they're social distancing and what they're going to be doing to cleaning. So the question is, as a small business owner, what can we do to make our small business stand out and be successful when it comes to identifying our cleaning plan or our returning or reopening plan as something that people feel comfortable with when we actually fully reopen? And I think the best way to do this, as you know, from a marketing standpoint, is to actually, whatever the niche is that you're serving. So whether you are a fitness studio like mine's that have few people that come in and it's not as big as a gym, or whether you are a chess academy, or whether you are a an HVAC business like Jonathan, who's not here, or whatever you are, you want to make sure that your cleaning plan, that your disinfecting plan is representative of the niche that you are actually serving. So whatever people are handling, whatever people are manipulating in the course of doing business with you, whatever people are actually using for the sake of doing business with you, whether it be like little instruments that they have to manipulate or big instruments or whatever it is, whether if it's a gym like mine, dumbbells, kettlebells, you're going to have to actually specifically mention, I would mention buzzwords or keywords that relate to your niche inside your marketing plan. So for instance, if you are involved in a specific business that has to do with, let's say, books, you know, maybe you can talk about how specifically you clean your bookstore and what areas in your bookstore tend to be the most trafficked, tend to be the most touched, and explain exactly in your marketing material how you're going to actually mitigate a virus that are on surfaces in the most high contact area of your business. So wherever that is, wherever people touch or walk, wherever they breathe on, is important. If you're a small business owner, remember that you're serving two specific things in your business. You're serving customers, but as a leader in your business, you're also serving employees. So that means that not only do your customers have to be comfortable to do business with you, but your employees have to be comfortable with you too. So what's the best way for employees to be comfortable and customers to be comfortable? Well, I think it comes down to education. It's just like anything else. When you're educated on something, you tend to have more confidence in whatever you're dealing with. I'll give you an example. There is an awesome YouTube channel by a pilot named, I think it's Captain Phillip or something. And on Captain Phillip's YouTube channel, what he talks about are the things that people who are flying have the most concerns with. Oftentimes, they surround things that are perfectly normal to pilots, but not as normal for people who are flying. So I'll give you an example. Minor turbulence. So turbulence, even moderate turbulence, is not dangerous at all to an airplane or to the flight pattern when you're on a plane. But for someone who's new to flying, for someone who hasn't really experienced moderate turbulence on any regular level, there's no way you're going to be able to convince them that turbulence is not actually dangerous unless you educate them about what turbulence is, how it acts on the plane, and why it is that a plane has the ability to fly through turbulence. This is exactly what we have to do to make our staff and our customers feel comfortable. We have to tell them that even though there's turbulence, even though we're going through a period of time when the coronavirus has hit, we need to talk about, gather as much information about what we know about how it spreads, how it travels. We need to look up information from experts that dispel myths that are floating out there about how people contract coronavirus to the best of our ability, and to the best of their explanation and their ability to explain to us. And we need to educate them on what we're doing to mitigate step by step the things that could cause transmission and infection with coronavirus. That's the only way that we're going to really make our staff or our customers feel comfortable. Because ultimately, when a person says that they're not comfortable coming to patronize your business or coming back to work, it's over concerns that they have they may be predisposed, or not predisposed, that's the wrong word, sorry. They may be in the pathway of actually getting infected at the business. So the reason why a person does not want to patronize your business or do business with you during this particular period where there was no reason for concern previously. There now is a reason that it's possible for them to get infected at your business. So how do you alleviate that? Education as much as possible. So this means that one of the things that you may have to do is before you reopen. So let's say that, so today's April 23rd. And let's say that you had a plan to open up April 30th, okay, 7 days from now. The reality is that you may have to spend a little more time than just a week on reopening because you may have to send out a series of emails educating your customers on a regular basis using maybe a coronavirus series of auto emails that are going to be sent out. That are going to be auto-dripped, that explain to your customers what the biggest impacts on your specific niche is. So, for instance, experts who have studied the spread of coronavirus in health and wellness facilities like mine or gyms are saying that the areas that in the gym that have the biggest ability to transmit this virus are, for instance, the dumbbell rack and the bathroom. So here's what we're doing, and here's the reason why those areas are the highest areas of transmissibility of the virus. So you send that out to your customers, you let them know why the experts believe that the dumbbell rack and the bathroom or the bookshelf or the stockroom or whatever your business is the highest area of transmissibility in your particular business. And then what you do is you explain to them exactly what you're doing to make sure that those areas of transmissibility, the dumbbell rack, the stockroom, the bathroom, whatever areas that you can research and find, the experts tend to think are the areas of highest transmissibility, then you knock down those concerns with education. So the thing that you could do is say, we're using this chemical to ensure that we don't transmit the virus to our customers in this way. This many times a day we're doing this, and we're going to prevent, we have this way of preventing you from doing this. Education is always the biggest part of doing business. So sometimes when we're doing business and we're kind of on autopilot and we're just marketing and we're just trying to figure out how we can get customers in the door, one of the things that drops off is the fact that we're actually, at the end of the day, small business owners are business owners and they're marketers. That's really our full-time job is marketing. And when it comes to getting everyone back when we're reopening our business, it's all going to come down to marketing. It's all going to come down to education. Marketing is really educating a person about why they should choose your business over the business that's advertising for the same thing down the street. So education is going to be key in demonstrating your ability to service your clients. And at the end of the day, remember that people feel the most uncomfortable. The confidence in business or in the economy or in anything is rattled more by uncertainty than anything else. And granted, we could be dismissive and just say, well, you know, yeah, there's always a level of uncertainty when we operate a business or when we go out in the world. And that's true. Statistically, everything we do in our life, from waking up to walking to the bathroom until the time when we get back in bed, has a statistical probability of death. Now, depending on what we're doing, that probability throughout the day goes up or it goes down. For me, it's probably double someone else because I'm a small business owner and I'm stressed anyway. So if you're listening to this and you understand, you could probably relate to that. But at the end of the day, remember that how we explain things to people, how we educate our customers and our staff on what we're doing and the process by which we're doing it is very, very important. Now, a colleague of mine posted something earlier that I thought was very, very adept. It made a lot of sense. His staff is concerned about coming back to work. He doesn't know what to do. I actually think that majority of small business owners are going to be faced with a similar thing, especially given that there's been an adjustment in unemployment now, and some people are making more out on unemployment than they would be working weekly with someone on, in the business, which was probably a mistake from Congress And, you know, we'll probably, you know, understand that now, but whatever. The reality is, at the end of the day, what we have to realize is that we're still business owners. And so at the end of the day, we can lead. We just have to lead strongly. And sometimes small business owners, we have to make decisions that are not great for the people involved, not great for us in particular. But those are the decisions that have to be made in order to advance ourselves forward. When black swan events like the coronavirus happen, there's absolutely nothing anyone can do. But in order to survive, to actually grow when this is over, you have to pivot, you have to innovate, you have to educate, and you have to continue to invigorate yourself and your staff and your customers daily with confidence, imbue them with confidence, imbue them with the fact that they know that you can handle whatever it is that you're throwing out there for them, despite their own personal insecurity about what they want to do. Here's another quote for you that I think that maybe we'll conclude on today. But I think this is something that we all need. Let's see here. I just had it. Oh, here it is. It says, through each crisis in my life, with acceptance and hope, in a single defining moment, I finally gained the courage to do things differently. If this crisis teaches us anything as small business owners, it teaches us that when crisis hits, we have to accept it, we have to be hopeful, but at the end of the day, the single defining moment our single defining moment is going to give us courage to do things differently. This is our moment as small business owners to do things differently. This is our moment as small business owners to reinvent or pivot. We have the ability to do so. The great part about being a small business owner is that you don't have 5,000 employees that you have to pivot when you're trying to pivot. It's like having a speedboat versus an oil tanker in the water. It's so much harder for large businesses to pivot because of the sheer amount of people that are involved in decision-making and the timetables that are required to make a decision fundamentally that can impact the future of the company. So it takes them longer to pivot. As small business owners, we're speedboats. We could turn on a dime. We have the ability to pivot and outpace oil tankers if we want to. But we're only going to be doing it. We're only going to be able to do it if we gain the courage that's necessary to do things differently than we did before. As you come out of the crisis, think about one fundamental thing. Accept the fact that life may have changed and you may not be able to actually do business like you did it before. But if you're willing to do things different, if you're willing to see things different than you did before, then you'll be successful. And not only will you be successful, you're going to be like the stock market, hopefully, a V-shaped recovery when you shoot back to the top. So how are you doing with this crisis? I want to know. I want to know how you're doing. I want to know what your struggles are, what your challenges are, because I want to try my best to help you. A few weeks ago, when everything first started, I started posting resources that I had access to. And by now, there's been so many commercials and Instagram and social media and questions and experts weighing in. And there's been a lot of information floated out there. But whatever I can do to help, I would love to do so. So that being the case, I want you to send me an email with questions, with your story, with what you're going through. Just share. At this particular point in history, everything that we're doing from about the third week in March forward is unprecedented. We have never seen anything like this before in the history of mankind to this level, economically, financially, shutting everything down, governments ground to a halt, travel restrictions, everything. We've never seen this before. So because we're going through unprecedented times, what we need to do is we need to share unprecedentedly. We need to show others you know, what we're going through and open ourselves up so that we can be involved in the process of getting ourselves together. Because fundamentally, all small business in America is one large business when you put us together. We employ over half of the employees in America. We're responsible for half the revenue in America. We have tremendous power, but in order to proceed effectively forward, we have to come together and share. That means sharing our stories. That means sharing where we are. That means sharing our goals. That means sharing what our desires are for the future for our business. So I want to hear from you. I have a platform in which I can actually share with people who are going to be listening to what you're talking about as a small business owner. And I just need you to send me your story. Tell me what your business is. Tell me what it was like before coronavirus. And then tell me what you think your future is going to be like. Yeah, you can, you know, give me just a three or four sentences as possible. But you want to email that to info@thecommonsensepodcast.com. We'll be going over some of these stories on air if we have some that come in. But info@thecommonsensepodcast.com. That's info@thecommonsensepodcast.com. I speak quickly. I'm sorry for that. But I think I speak clearly. And I do so that I can, you know, my brain works at a million miles a minute. So anyways, so episode 45, coronavirus. So just so you know, on the upcoming episodes of the Common Sense Show, I'm going to try to bring on quite a few experts and talk to them. I'm going to try to bring on a public health expert to talk about how small business owners can put together a plan for reopening that conforms to the health policies that they can think about when they're strategizing the reopening plan. I'm going to bring on a psychologist to help talk about the mental impact of the stress of being a small business owner. We have a lot of interesting things that are going to happen on the podcast. So I hope you're geared up, because this is not a time when we shrink back and we try to figure out what we're going to do. This is a time when we stay out front and we lead, because we are small business owners. We are we are who are going to turn everything around. So keep your head up, keep grinding, keep working, focus on the positive, not the negative, and everything will be all right. So until the next show, you can find us on facebook.com/thecommonsensepodcast, Instagram @thecommonsensepodcast, Twitter @sense, that's C-E-N-T-S podcast. And you can email us with your story at info@thecommonsensepodcast.com. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your story. We want to hear your small business story. So let us know what you're going through in your small business, and we'll share it with some of your other fellow small business owners out there who are looking for to be energized, to come out of this with more than just loans from the government at 1%. We're looking to actually come out of this successful as we can be, by pivoting, by sharing, by educating, by motivating, by inspiring, but more importantly, by activating. We have to activate. Activation requires thinking. Activation requires that we are strategizing. So anyways, I'm going to give you as many resources as I can. I'm going to get as many experts as I can to come on the podcast. And this is all for you. But until next time, use your common sense in your business and your business will grow. But for now, I'm out of here. See you later.